Get ready.
How you a revolutionary, but you totally willing to leave weapons on the table that your enemy is fighting to keep you from using anyway?
For real talk.
Being a contrarian for contrary's sake is whack. But the assault on reality has been so thorough, even niggas we used to routinely ignore have somehow found an audience.
All the time.
I'm not above it all, and I won't pretend to be. America provides you all the freedom in the world to be a dummy. You just don't get to be loud and dumb around me.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
This nigga look like he coming home, man.
Yeah, until we find out shit ain't shit sweet about that house.
Put my shit back on this fucking car, man. Yeah. I saw you when you got out the motherfucking car. You tried it. Put my shit back on this motherfucker.
Yo, man. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Share Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span. This is episode number 327 of the report. And, yo, man, we just got started. I got the homies from the Shop Talk Podcast here with me. Say what's up to the people's fam.
What up, yo, what up, though? It's your man, Jay Johnson, one half of the Shop Talk Podcast. Pleasure to be on the show today, my brother.
Now, come on, man. Come on, man.
Come
on, man.
I didn't know what the temperature in the room
Come
was.
Come on, man. Go ahead, Jay. What y'all do, man?
All right. What up, though? It's your man, Jay Johnson, a.k.a. the tinfoil hat titan, a.k.a. the conspiracy realist, a.k.a. the technology snob, Steve Jobs Jr. Don't text you with your green bubbles, a.k.a. I only debate my equals, everybody else I teach. Also known as Juice, because all the hoes say J-U Ice. Young Caesar, because you know you can't roam without me. Mr. If you don't like me, fight me. I got kicked out of Noah's Ark because they couldn't find another animal just like me, a.k.a. the West Side T'Challa, the new leader of Wakanda. Don't debate me, debate your mama. I am the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. What up?
What up, though? And it's your man Dame Gone Wild, the West Side Landlord, the Pride of PA, High Chief Dame Don't Fuck Around, the Liquor Store Legend, the Corner Store Conquistador, your mama's favorite Dame. And the David Ruffin of the Shop Talk Podcast, because you know who the fuck they came to see. Not you, Otis. It's no better than these four letters. Thank God for Dame. And if you're speaking on Dame, you better say it nice. And don't put the boss in front. The bitch, you're not saying it right. It's your favorite baby daddy.
What's up, fellas, man?
What's up, man?
See, ain't no way in hell y'all was going to come on here and not do what y'all did. Like, this is the third time. Like, they've been on the Span Report before. As a matter of fact, the first time they were on the Span Report, these brothers let me come to the Shop Talk Podcast Studios, and we recorded that episode there, man. And then we also had them on an episode of the Beer and Chicken. We was reviewing The Last Dance, man. You know, we had to have, like, some deep Chicago shit because, you know, and my man Cliff couldn't make it for that one, but I tried to hold it down, baby. You know, I tried to hold it down. But that was the last time you guys saw them. But it won't be the last time you'll see them on here, because I fucks with these guys heavy, man. Real talk.
And we appreciate it. The love is definitely reciprocated.
Listen, man, I consider you two of some of, like, if not two of the most important people in Detroit podcast. And I say that.
Wow.
I say that because, hold on a second, because Jay got hung up. Let me
Here I go.
Uh-oh. Oh, let me pull him back up. Too much shit going on. But no, I say that for real, though. I say that because not only do you guys record your shows, but there's so many other Detroit area podcasts that record out of Shop Talk Podcast Studios, man. And, you know, as far as, like, there being a Detroit podcast and scene, if it's a Detroit podcast, chances are they've recorded their shit out of Shop Talk Podcast Studios. That's why I consider y'all some two of the most important... Two of the most important people in Detroit podcasting, man. Real talk. That ain't nothing but love.
Man, I appreciate that, man.
I get a lot of love and respect to my partner, man. Like, you know, I Shop Talk with Jay Vision, like, from the inception to everything that it is now, man. And, like, without his vision with it, it wouldn't be what it is, bro.
Also, man, look, we got a bunch of episodes, man. We on 248, man, but like you in the 300s, you know what I'm saying? We've been doing it for a long time, but like you've been doing this shit for even longer, you know what I'm saying? So talking about people who have a big impact or just was like the ground base of the podcast culture, man.
Well, I appreciate that, man. I do. Because, like, the thing is, like, and we talked about this, man. We chopped it up a bit when we was at the studio. Like, a lot of folks get into the podcasting, and they think it's, like, just something to do. Like, they don't understand the work that goes behind doing the podcast. It's like, yo, man, this shit hot right now. Let me go ahead and jump on this. And then, like, the work behind it is like, nah, man, this is almost like you got to kind of love doing this shit if you're just going to be doing it.
And that's so a fact.
I tell people that all the time. Yeah. Anytime I get a phone call, because now I'm about to start charging niggas consulting fees. Every time I get a phone call now, like, yo, bro, I'm thinking about starting a podcast. Like, so what I need to do? All right, man, so here's my fee. And then I'll break this down.
For real.
Because not only that, it's easy as hell to get into podcasting now. Like, before, when I got in it, bro, like, I'm like, okay, so what's the RSS feed? Like,
right.
You can get on, like, your phone and record a podcast, and it's already distributed to iTunes and
Spotify and all that.
Radio, all of those, though. Like, none of that shit was available to us when we first got in. So, yo, man.
Nah.
The barrier of entry is low. That's why so many podcasts don't.
It's a hard grind. It's a hard grind. That's what
I look at podcasts and like the mixtape game, like back in 03, 04, like everybody could drop a mixtape, like music and just like the way things were distributed became accessible. But just because you could doesn't mean it was valuable or good or your voice deserved to be heard. And I don't want to like sound like high and mighty, but like, you know, some of y'all just ain't as funny and insightful and inquisitive as you really think you are. Yeah. And like sometimes that liquor is lying to you. That Casamigos is lying to you.
I just had a session earlier today. I just came back in the crib, came back from the studio. Like liquor is the most destructive component in people podcasts who record through the studio. Mm-hmm. Like they can't function without pouring up. And then halfway through, like they so gone that the whole conversation, they screaming and yelling in the microphone. Like, I mean, we'll pour up in our sessions too, man. But like, we know what we doing.
Yeah. I ain't gonna lie. It's been a few times, man. Cause I've been doing this a while. It's been a few times where I've been lit on this fucking mic, bro. And I couldn't tell.
Yeah, but
I couldn't tell until after I listened back to the show. Like, damn, I was fucked up right there.
I mean, it's definitely didn't happen before.
About a month and a half ago, I ate an edible and like I was smacked. I was fucking trash. I didn't realize it like during the recording. But like when I went back and listened to it, it sounded like I was talking in slow motion. I was fucking smacked, bro.
Man, and then when we not live, but we don't do no edit, so it might as well be live. And you just trying to coach, like we know the nigga is out of here, but I'm just trying to coach it through on the spot. Like, all right, and then you had said that, and you remember you was gonna say something else. Like, hey,
we got a taste of that. We got a taste of that because these brothers did a live show for their 200th episode.
Oh, man.
I was there for that.
I watched that video. I appreciate you showing up too, man. I watched that video today randomly.
Yo, my man Dane was lit dead.
I don't handle liquor well. You know what I'm saying? Like it's just that's not my strong point. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm a smoker, but even then, like I go over the deep end. Like I don't have no off switch.
I hear you, bro. So yeah, man. Let's get into some topics, man. Let's get into some news. We got a bunch of like little newsy things kind of happening in the world, man. I'm not gonna even read an article for this shit. What y'all think about that shit that's going on in Texas right now with like the winter storm and how they handling it and how they not handling it, man? What y'all think about that?
You know, I was a little on the fence, like thinking things are being handled incorrectly. But like me and Jay talked about this yesterday, like now giving his insight, like what the fuck can you really do? Mm. Like it's the weather. Y'all are just not prepared for that type of climate. And now what's done is done. Like, all you can do is take funds and try and fix it. But, like, I don't know what you could have done to prevent this type of shit from happening.
Yeah.
Them houses luckily, ain't brick, they made out of stucco and sand.
Yeah.
Like those houses are made to breathe, you know what I'm saying, for the hot weather. They're not made for the cold climate. Luckily it's 60 degrees in Texas today, so yeah, they're getting some little bit of reprieve in Houston at least. But like, they've been on their own power grid for like 100 years, and they got some of the cheapest energy costs in the country. But that's because they're not federally regulated, they avoid a lot of the fees and things of that nature. But that's like one of those things that you got to like vote on as a city and a state, where it's like, hey, do we want to pay more money individually from our taxes or whatever it is to winterize our entire system? Because these one-off situations happen every 15 years or so. So do we want to pay the extra money, or do we want to reap the benefits of paying less for 14 of those years and every one time do it? I wasn't sure what was going on. And before, I'm looking like, yo, somebody fucked up. But after I looked at it, I'm like, yo, whoever in office, they didn't set this up. Like, they didn't.
Well, it's sort of like this. It's sort of like this, because I work in utilities.
Okay.
So like, one of the things that I thought was interesting was like the, like you was talking about, they had like their own energy grid. Like, they're not attached to the national energy grid. They got their own shit. They separated themselves. Because Texas is talking about seceding from the union. Not even five years ago. They're like, nigga, we out this bitch, right? And now they need this federal funding to kind of help them get their shit back together. So be careful what you wish for, right, on that tip. But, like, one of the things that I thought was interesting was how they tried to frame it about, like, a Green New Deal, right? They start talking about the Green New Deal would have, like, been hell for Texas, this, that, and other. Like, dog, ain't no Green New Deal in effect nowhere, bro. Like, nobody has a Green New Deal. That's not a thing. And most of their energy cost, or most of their energy production, comes from like fossil fuels, like from coal, from natural gas and shit like that. So like, when your natural gas transmission lines are freezing the fuck up, like, bro, y'all should, like, and people have been telling them this for decades, y'all might want to go ahead and handle this, because in any event, like, we have an event like this, you want to be able to prevent it. And so I think now it's more so like, I told you so for a lot of the people that are down there. But then also, like, you can't necessarily just put it on the politicians that are in power right now, because this has been going on for a long time, even before this current crop of politicians was in place.
Man, they've had their own system since like World War II. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, literally, they've had this in place since like almost 100 years, man.
Did y'all crack any jokes on them though, like before you knew how fucked up it was down there? Because I know I did.
I didn't. When I got online and saw, I saw everybody tweeting about people cracking jokes, and that was before I knew what was going on.
Yeah.
So by the time I found out what was going on, like, it was already jacked up. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
See, I was cracking jokes on niggas that, like, I know from up here that went down there, and they go down there and start talking shit about how cold it is up here. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, oh. So like, you moved down there, suddenly you forgot where you came from, and I'm like, yo, man, they ain't got salt trucks, but these niggas got meat smokers, nigga. They can put them bitches on the back, put them bitches on the back of a Toyota Tundra, nigga. Put the chute on the ground, nigga. They done melted all the snow and the ice, bro. They just need a fleet of these Tundras, cause you know they got Toyota Tundras like hell down there.
You know, I'll be honest, I thought that you know, it wasn't going to be that crazy, in all honesty. But, like, I got a homeboy of mine. Like, I talked to him, like, the first day down there.
Yeah.
And he was like, bro, me and the kids don't have no power. I'm like, I didn't get the full scope of it until, like, I talked to somebody that was, like, really in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I talked to my cousin down in San Antonio. He lives right by the Air Force base. He used to be in the Air Force, so he had power. Cause he said, I think like I'm connected to their power grid or somehow, you know what I'm saying? But like less than a mile away, but he works at a hospital as a surgical tech. And most of the people in the hospital don't have power. He sent me some pictures of a bunch of people standing in line. There was like 500 people standing in line trying to get to the grocery store.
Yeah.
The roads was closed down. They cut the freeways, you know, off. Like, they just not built to sustain. Some of these places, like Dallas, gets cold. They get snow every once in a while. But some of these places in Texas, it just don't be cold. Like, year round, they're not prepared.
And it's crazy that you mentioned. Go ahead, Jeremy.
But What was jacked up is, like, since it was so cold, everybody turning the heat on. Everybody got their lights on and everything. And it caused a drain on the system. So it was either we can let the system blow and y'all be out for weeks, or I can do some rolling blackouts.
Yeah, the crazy thing, you know, I'm sorry, go ahead, Dan. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, like, my man's that moved down there, like, he's lifelong Michigan resident. You know, he got an amazing job opportunity. Him and his wife built a house, you know, in Houston from the ground up, $600,000 house, like, yeah. You know, beautiful brand new home and a brand new subdivision. He was like, look, man, I ain't been down here 30 days. And, like, we without power, my roof is leaking.
Damn.
Like, them houses not built Michigan tough, you know?
Yeah, it's a totally different
thing. And their rules and regulations when you build in a house are changed from state to state depending on the conditions that you have. Like, no brick houses like that down there, man.
Yeah.
They're not.
And truthfully speaking, like, even up here, some of these houses just ain't built the same. Like, if I got a drill on somebody's house in their basement or something, you know, a house is built in, like, maybe, shit, I don't know. Say you go on the north end, they might have a poor basement. That basement is solid as fucking, like, just solid, as opposed to trying to drill a hole in somebody who's got a foundation built on cinder block. It ain't the same.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't the same. So, yeah, man, like, I know, like, a lot of folks got the jokes off early. But when you notice, like, and you see how people have had to live since that thing has, like, kind of been on them the way that it is. Like, man, you got to be a special piece of shit to, like, want to continue to do, you know, with the jokes and shit like that, bro.
What's messed up is it's not even just Texas. My partner in Memphis, they going through the same thing.
Yeah.
So, because they not ready for that shit, and all the water mains bust, so everything jacked up. Yeah. So it wasn't even just because you're not on our grid. Like, we just not prepared for it. And you don't have – I saw everybody saying, yo, this is not a third world country. Fam, like, people in quote-unquote third world countries are just there because of the circumstance. This particular week, the circumstance created ice and power outages. Like, you're not no better. Like, people been saying, like, we ain't no third world country. And them people.
Man, not only that, though. I think because, you know, Americans, we tend to have this, like, elitist fucking attitude about us.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, truthfully speaking, if you look at some of the last few natural disasters that have happened in America, and everybody's like, well, this is America. It's like, well, why in the fuck is we got so many people so out, like, they asses in a sling right now? Like, you think about the response to Hurricane Katrina. You think about how, like, even politically, it's a political football on whether or not we should send aid to, like, New York when Hurricane Sandy, like, went up against the Atlantic coast and all this other stuff. Like, we are, like, holding this motherfucker together with, like, yarn and thread and fucking Elmer's glue in hopes of some shit not happening, bro. And then when shit happens, we like, man, what the fuck are we supposed to do? Well, this America. Fuck all that. What we gonna do?
We are equipped for war, or at least we think we are. Yeah. We are not equipped for calamity and natural disaster. We think that we are prepared for war. But, like, when anything outside of going to fight happens, like, we get caught with our pants down and we're looking crazy.
That's a fact, man.
And the fucked up part about that, though, like, they forecast the shit. So you know it's coming, right? You know it's coming, and yet we don't do what the hell we need to do to prepare for it. Yeah, we always got our hand on the button for the fight.
Span, let me ask you. Yep. You know, they was on Ted Cruz's head because he took his family down to Cancun.
Yeah.
So this shit messed up. You got ice everywhere. Your family cold, and they say they want to go to Cancun. Is you taking them down there?
I'm going. Hold on. I'm going. Listen to me. Hold on, because there's a flip side. I'm going, but I ain't no United States Senator, right? I'm not a United States Senator. So here's the thing, right? Because I saw a bunch of people saying that, like, yo, man, it ain't like he going to go down there and get the turbines working. He ain't about to get the gas working, this, that, and the other. Ted Cruz's job, if nothing else, is about the optics, right? Keep in mind. No.
That's what I said. It just looks bad.
The optics. Because think about this, man. Like, especially when you start talking about elected officials and politicians in general. Like, if Ted Cruz had stayed there and looked like he was doing some shit, he'd have had a whole bunch of people in Texas saying, well, Ted Cruz stood up for Texas. Ted Cruz made sure that we had what we had, what we needed to, you know, in the event.
He fought God and made him make it warmer.
It's not that. I'm just saying, like, when it comes to elected officials, man, the way you do shit and the way it looks means a lot. I give you a perfect example. Kwame Kilpatrick. Kwame Kilpatrick is loved in the city of Detroit to this day, despite what he got convicted of and everything else. Kwame Kilpatrick is loved in this town. If Kwame Kilpatrick was to run for mayor again, he could probably win. Now, we know he can't run because of the legal shit, but if he were able to run, Kwame Kilpatrick would win. And you know why?
When he's 73.
Right.
Now, I might still vote for him.
And the reason why is because Kwame Kilpatrick made you feel a certain way. Kwame Kilpatrick instilled a civic pride about Detroit, and you felt that. And the reason why is because of how he presented. It's the optics. So if you feel a certain way about your politicians, you'll trust them a lot more when they go, even when they do some shit that you might think is questionable. You'll give them a little bit more leeway when you feel a certain way about them. Like, man, I think
it's just leadership in general, because, like, I know Jay, me and Jay worked for a lady when we were back at Comcast named Renita. Now, in front of people, like, she was a cheerleader. You know, she pumped everything up. People would walk to the edge of a cliff. Now, behind closed doors, she is a completely different individual. But, like, people bought into the image that they saw so tough that they'd be willing to jump off a cliff for. Like, and I think that's what, like, it just depends on which image that you present and are people buying into. And is your leadership, you know, is the leadership lie that you're living good enough to convince people to continue to walk with you?
So that's where, like, I'm out. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm more concerned with how things are versus how things look. I ain't never thought about Debbie Stabenow when last year Big Gretch told us to turn our heat down to 62 or it was going out. I wasn't thinking, like, where's Gary Peters? What? Where is Debbie Stabenow? I don't think of the senator. You got governor, you got your mayor. You got local I don't think of the senator at all.
Well, it wasn't just Big Gretch, though. Consumers Energy was like, hey, man, turn y'all shit down. We ain't got enough gas. Like, Consumers was like, yo, if y'all don't, we gonna be up Schitt's Creek, man. We need y'all to do that. But also, like, you might not have been thinking about that. Because also, it's like, here's the other tripped out part about, like, because it's Michigan, we're just kind of used to cold, right? So, like, the idea of just, hey, nigga, I got to do what now? Like, that's different. It's something different, but it wasn't, what we were going through wasn't necessarily to the same degree what's happening in Houston, because they've never seen anything like that before. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but, like, the fix is what?
Okay.
Like, so, when it's the whole state, they're like, what's, where, y'all got to go help them. So, what?
So the fix is, hey, man, people are losing their fucking, like, materials and shit. Like, they losing furniture. People are burning their own furniture in their front yard for heat and shit. People need blankets. People need coats. People need some place to go to warm up. So, hey, we need to.
But I feel what you're saying, but that is now, like, a person, and not saying a personal problem, but, like, that's something you got to deal with insurance.
Now,
like, that's not something that necessarily the government was like, here go a brand new couch.
But it looks different. Hold on now. But it looks crazy when you got, you know, the Texas senator leaving to go to Cancun with his family wise. People in his constituents are suffering. And then you got politicians from other states coming in and bringing resources to your state to help your people. So had Ted Cruz.
I agree.
But the resources came from places with power. Like, our whole state don't got power.
Okay.
Like, where am I put y'all people at?
So Ted Cruz, like, Ted Cruz's job is to get in touch with those people to help bring those resources home, not for
the senator.
Yes, that's part of his job as an elected official.
Now, that's the governor job.
That's part.
The
of The governor
should
job
be doing that shit. The senator passing them bills and shit. But
all,
like, the senator not like. No, that's the governor's job.
Ted Cruz represents Texas on a national level. It's not like he's like a local dude. Ted Cruz goes to Washington, D.C. and
man, niggas are capping, though.
Jay,
listen, niggas are capping.
Jay, when you got your new job, there was a line at the bottom of
when I got my new job.
Other duties as assigned.
Listen, I got my new job that I'm working now. I'm working from home. They ain't never seen me. I do all my calls, my meetings, my Zoom. We doing this podcast remotely. That nigga Ted Cruz can do this exact same shit, whether he in Dallas, whether he in wherever. And first and foremost, fuck Ted Cruz. I don't give a fuck about the nigga in real life. Yeah, but like,
he got a real
face. What are you about to do physically? Like, I don't physically have to be there to represent and show up for my people.
Hey, man, it's a bad look through and through. It's just, it's a bad look.
It is.
It's
it,
a bad it, look, man.
I don't. You can't, I mean, I don't need to be coddled. My emotions don't need to be coddled. But a lot of, but 85% of the people do.
But check it though. You talking about Texas? A lot of Texans have that same mindset. Like, yo, I don't need nobody to coddle. Like, we want the government out of our lives. This, that, and other. We don't need that. Like, they got that whole go it alone sort of mentality. But even those folks are like, man, why is this nigga the fucking? How he get to go to fucking Mexico and we ain't got shit done here yet? There's a lot of folks in Texas.
They got online. They got online and saw that narrative. We're like, yeah, for sure. Like, I don't give a fuck what that nigga. I never in my life thought, like, where is that be stepping on right now?
If Ted Cruz, I'm going to tell you this right now. If Ted Cruz thought what he was doing was on the up and up and he wasn't going to get caught, Ted Cruz's ass would still be in Cancun.
I wouldn't care.
Yeah. But he does. Because he cares how shit looks too.
Yeah, I guess, you know, man.
He cares how shit looks too. So, yo, man, we got that going on in the news. Rush Limbaugh died from the lung cancer, man. I know
die every day, B.
People die every day. You know what, man? I wish I
had. Rest in peace to a radio legend, man. That gold RE2500 that he got, that motherfucker is cold. You know what I'm talking about? That microphone is cold. It is solid gold. That shit great. Not him as like a personality. I mean, he's a great radio personality. Just how like Ric Flair is a great personality. All the heels that we watched on television are great personalities for what they do. His personal opinion about different shit, I don't align with that shit. But like, he a radio legend, man.
Yeah, man. All I know is that man was talking about himself being like pro-life, then the motherfucker and the Grim Reaper just rolled up on him like, you
shouldn't have been talking shit. I can respect what he's done in radio. Like, nobody would be able to take that away. There was no talk radio lane before Rush Limbaugh, really. But he is a racist, a homophobe.
I don't know that. Niggas will listen to our show and say we racist and homophobes too. Like 100%. You can pull up some clips and niggas will say that shit about us for sure. We be wild. We say some wild shit on the pod that we understand the proper context of. But like, if you just put some shit on the screen, like, Jason, what'd you say about white folks? I'm like, the white man is the what?
I hear you, but like, I think it's how we say it.
I didn't say the white man is the devil before, so ain't no way for me to get around that shit.
all I'm saying is that, like, as somebody that who has come close to death more than once, I would not wish it on anyone. But I do believe that the Lord is mistake free, and He did what He had to do.
Yeah. How many people listen to Rush Limbaugh? I wonder. You know, I've listened to him on television. I mean, on radio before.
That was weird because, like, I remember, like dating myself and shit. But I remember, like, back in the '90s, he used to have a TV talk show on that used to come on Channel 2. And I remember them. This is around, I want to say maybe '95 when OJ was still on trial. And they used to turn like all of like the soap operas off that had the OJ trial on TV all day, but. They used to advertise Rush Limbaugh's show, and like I remember that was like my first introduction to Rush Limbaugh. And at 15, I'm like, man, what the fuck is this nigga talking about, bro? Like, it never sit right with me at 15. So like, you know, I see folks, you know, they like, yo, man, he's been like really great for talk radio. You know, a lot of folks are like, well, he's funny, you know. And a lot of times, man, I know like you can get across some real fucked up views so long as it's coming across as funny, man. Like. There's a whole lot of comedians out here saying some fucked up shit, but you laugh so it don't have the same sort of sting to it. And so Rush Limbaugh was able to like kind of like do that, pass across a lot of real fucked up shit, but he said it in an entertaining way. And it gave a whole lot of latent racist, like, you know, well, Rush Limbaugh thinks this, and I can't be the only one who thinks this. And it just kind of laid the groundwork for them to just be like, well, what I feel and what I think about those people over there might not be as bad because I know I'm not the only one who feels that way. And they started feeling like, you know, it's like this national sort of
the same thing Trump did.
much in many ways, like Rush Limbaugh kind of laid the groundwork for there to be a Trump, because Rush Limbaugh.
Only thing about that is, though, I just be wanting us to be careful, because they say the same thing about Farrakhan, and everything that we would say about insert Trump or whatever, they said about Farrakhan, they said it about Khalid Muhammad, you know what I'm saying? Initially, they won't tell you now, because after you die or get assassinated, everybody's great. They said the same thing about Malcolm. But when you have the opposing view, all that shit look evil. But then when you provide proper context, you're like, wait a minute. Well, Farrakhan actually said what and what they, how they positioned it. Or I just want us to be careful. Not saying that what y'all saying ain't true or he don't really feel that way. We just got to be careful, because they will do our leaders the exact same way.
Though. I want to push back on that a little bit, though, because they was going to do that anyway. And the other part about it is, like, we talking about people who are already sitting in a very privileged position telling marginalized groups why they shouldn't feel the way that they do. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you got white folks telling black folks, like, not to feel a certain way. Meanwhile, white folks been subjugating black folks since we've been here. So, it, you know, it's like, and I said this on Twitter a while ago, like, that sometimes I think we've allowed the false equivalence, like the false equivalence of shit to like kind of run for so long, that sometimes people who don't necessarily have a leg to stand on really do believe that they saying some really deep shit. Mm-hmm. And they making a comparison that doesn't even fit. And so with like Rush Limbaugh, yeah, white folks throw something like, well, what about this and what about that? Like, yeah, but at the same time, what Farrakhan does, like what Farrakhan has to say might not necessarily have any impact on your life whatsoever. What Rush Limbaugh has to say help get a motherfucker elected to the White House, and his shit impacts us all by the policies and the laws that they place in the country. So like, so sometimes when white folks start talking about, well, what about BLM and Antifa and shit like that? Like, nah, bruh, you can't point to no black people that didn't, like, you can't point to a whole bunch of white folks that died on behalf of Black Lives Matter and no shit like that. You know, you can't do that. It's not the same thing. So I like that's the only thing I would push back on, man. Like, yo, white folks, they gonna do that anyway, because they never want to be held accountable for the shit that they say and or do. You know, so that's just where I'll go with that, man. Another story we got, man, here in the news. AOC, man, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, man, she a little pissed at Joe Biden. Joe Biden said that he wouldn't do the executive order for $50,000 in student loan forgiveness, man. AOC is on his head about it. As a matter of fact, I think I got an article here. Let me read from the article real quick. Let me pull this up so I can make sure I'm quoting this woman the correct way. Where is it? Okay, yeah, here we go. This comes out of Fox Business News, so maybe I'm not quoting it the right way, but still. it says, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez criticized President Biden after he shot down a proposal from progressive Democrats to eliminate $50,000 in student loan debt, saying the president's arguments against acting unilaterally on the matter just don't hold water. The case against student loan forgiveness is looking shakier by the day, Ocasio-Cortez tweeted Tuesday night. We've got the Senate majority leader on board to forgive $50,000. Biden's holding it back, but many of the arguments against it just don't hold water on close inspection. We should just do it. Keep pushing. The progressive firebrand's comments came on the heels of Biden's CNN town hall in Milwaukee, his first since he took office in January. Asked by an audience member during the event about his commitment to wiping away $50,000 in student loan debt per borrower, Biden said, "I will not make that happen." Biden said he didn't want to forgive the debts of borrowers who attended elite private schools like Harvard and Yale and Penn, arguing the money would be better repurposed towards early childhood education and making community college tuition free. Biden also questioned whether he has the authority to cancel billions of dollars in loans without Congress. My point is, I understand the impact of debt, and it can be debilitating, Biden said. I'm prepared to write off the $10,000 debt, but not $50,000, because I don't think I have the authority to do it. Now, I got a little student loan debt. I think I got my shit down to like $7,700, dog. It's been a long time, cause I ain't been to college in 20 years, nigga, but I still got $7,700. I can definitely use $10,000 in student loan debt forgiveness. But I know some people in my own home who could use that $50,000 student loan forgiveness too. What do y'all think about the fact that Biden right now doesn't think that he has the authority to forgive $50,000 in student loan debts for everybody?
I mean, I'm not a fan of Biden, but I mean that's a valid concern. Well, what else can I just eliminate? I mean, I'm the president, but do I just got unilateral control to just take money from individual businesses that, yo, even though that people had a contract that said they was going to pay you back, they ain't got to pay you back no more because of whatever the rate. I don't know that he feels comfortable doing that because it does create a slippery slope. So now what if we want to just take away all the car loans? Anybody who upside down in a car, yo, erase that shit too. Though I understand, I don't know that the president can just be like, yeah, you ain't got to pay that shit back. I mean, I know, I guess you can technically do it, like if you sign some executive order, but like, is that something that we want the president to be able to do, to pick and choose who should pay who when you've already signed the contract? Now, I do think the ask should be different. I don't think we should say, give me $10,000 off or give me $50,000 off this one time. Just say, can we get rid of the interest and we just pay back what we actually borrowed? So that way, the people who borrowed the money or whatever, it's not a total loss. Nobody's going to say, I'm happy with nobody giving me back my money. Take the interest away. So if you borrow $50,000 from your financial institution, pay that $50,000 back, but don't pay more. The interest is what's fucking everybody up. So get rid of that interest. If you've already paid it back and what you're paying back is interest, well, you're free to go. You know what I'm saying? We decided to adjust the ask because what's the solution? All right, fine. We get $10,000 or we get $50,000. If we don't change fundamentally how it is moving forward, so what, in 10 years, we're going to do the same thing again? Like,
And that's the way that I look at it. Like, yes, $50,000, like when you look at your student loan debt or your wife's student loan debt, like, cool, that may sound amazing, but it's like, we give $50,000, then what? My son is 18 and about to start college next year. Where is his $50,000? Like, do I get $50,000 to bank on for the student loan debt he's going to get? Like, it's bigger than just, you know, absolving what's going on right now. It's fundamentally fixing what is. Like, so yeah, I can give you $50,000, but that's putting a Band-Aid on a bullet wound. Like, it's still going to bleed out. Like, what can we do to change this moving forward? Because I think, Jay, you make up a good point, like, about the interest. Like, no, like, I always talk about my mother's friend that was like, when she retired, she was also celebrating paying off her student loans. This is a woman that had been out of college 40 fucking years. Like, she ain't been an AKA since the fucking 70s. And like, so no, your debt shouldn't follow you like that. But like, just saying, okay, we're going to give y'all 50 racks and then what? In 20 years, 20, 30 years, we're going to have another generation that's going through the same shit.
And they're going to be like, well, in 2021, you took off 50, you set precedent, run my money. We need people to go to college in order for them to move it to the next generation for the world to run. So if you don't got the money to pay for college, fine, I'll take the loan, but have that a 0% interest loan moving forward. If we're going to give everybody the money, cool. But moving forward, 0% interest loan. It, like, when you present a problem, I would like people to present a solution, because optically, because we care about optics, it don't look right. It look like I'm taking care of myself. Fuck who was before me and fuck who coming after me. We just got finished saying Ted Cruz, the optics don't look right. Mm-hmm. So the optics don't look right. If you look, all I care about is my student loans, forget everybody else. Like, that don't look right. Do you want a fundamental change, or do you just want to come off under the debt that you got? Because that sounds selfish. And you borrowed the money. You did borrow the money.
Yeah. So I got a couple different thoughts about this. First things first, like, I like AOC, right? I think, like, she gets a lot of, like, press or whatever for some of the more outlandish, you know, policy, you know, positions she takes. But I like her because she's passionate, she's young, and I think she's on the way up. She's not going to just be this congresswoman from New York. She's going to run for president at some point. I see that for her. One of the things that I have a problem with right now with her ask is that, like, their push to put this all on Biden as if Biden alone can do it. you work in a co-equal branch of the government, right? The Democrats right now have leadership in both the House and the Senate. Y'all's job is to come up with legislation. Come up with legislation, do your fucking job, write up a law that y'all can pass in the House and the Senate that you send to Biden's desk, right? Now, this is if you want this shit done. Because the thing is, with the executive orders, depending on who comes behind Biden, whether it's Kamala Harris or whether it's somebody else other than the Democrat, maybe it's a Republican in 2024. The first thing they can do with another executive order is just undo your shit, right? Mm-hmm. You make that shit law, you make it a hell of a lot harder for whoever comes behind you to undo that shit. This is part of the reason why it was so hard for the Republicans to get rid of Obamacare. They made that shit law. They spent a lot of political capital. They even lost seats in the House and the House of Representatives, but they got that shit law. And then once it becomes law and people are actually reaping the benefits of that, for somebody to come behind them to try to take it away from them, like, hey, hold on, nigga. Like, fuck that. I like this, nigga. Like, before I ain't know about it, but like, nah, I got it. Like, nigga, nah, fuck that. Much the same way like they did with Social Security. Now, the thing with like the actual, like, actually whether or not they should even do it, right? Whether they should cancel the student loans and everything else. Like, for somebody, like, and I think Biden sort of addressed this in his answer when he talked about early childhood education, and he also talked about there being free, like, for community colleges and everything else, like, free community college. When you get your associate's degree for 2 years, you ain't even got to pay for that, right? Because truthfully speaking, a lot of kids go to school now, they go, like, you go out of state for school or whatever, and you racking up this debt for this associate's degree before you even get to your serious studies, and, you know, you rack up a shit ton of debt before you even walk out of that institution. Whereas if you come in there like, okay, so I'm taking this as opposed to 4 years, I got 2 years of this shit to pay for, you just saved yourself some money there. But also, like, the fact that, like, college has gone up exponentially over the years, right? Like, we paying college football, like, it's weird, like, college football coaches tend to be, like, the highest paid public officials in the state. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think Jim Harbaugh might be the highest paid fucking, the highest paid public employee in the state of Michigan right now. He's a fucking football coach, you know? And so, if we can actually address the actual cost of going to school, then we can start addressing like why these debt totals are so damn high. Because as an older
person, we gotta stop looking at shit with rose colored lenses. Yeah. Like, I think people look at college, the college experience, the fees. Like, no, we can't look at it in terms of how we want it to look. We gotta deal with it for what the fuck it is.
And another thing too, college isn't the only way for you to have a comfortable life. If we could actually start teaching kids trades, you know what I'm saying? Like carpentry, plumbing, welding, these sorts of jobs. These are jobs that, like, I wish somebody would have told me that as a pipe fitter, I could make six figures at 18. I wish somebody would have told me that. I still love the fact that I went to Tennessee State University, had a really great time at Tennessee State University. I love my school. But had I been told at 18 I could have made six figures doing, like, pipe fitting, I'd have been doing pipe fitting, bro. And I wouldn't have the debt. I wouldn't have the debt that I got, now.
That's a strength. That's a plan strategy. Because we used to teach people that in school. Yeah. But then a certain group came in with their lobbyists, got that taken out of school. And now in order to do that, you got to go through that particular group.
Yeah, and you got to pay.
And that particular group runs it all. Now. Yeah,
you got to pay for that shit. Now. When I look at, used to go to Votech.
When I look at,
when I was at Cooley, they go to Votech, man. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
When I look at, my bad, I didn't mean to cut you off. When I look at trades, just in particular, I look at Texas right now. They're going to be in need of plumbers for months. If that's your trade, like, you're going to make money hand over fist. Like, college, you know, with me, I got three. Two of them I can see going to college. My middle son, no. I don't have no doubt in my mind that, like, college is not going to be for him. But, you know, he likes computers. He likes, you know, technology, things of that nature. Like, you know, going to somewhere that's going to teach him those skills is going to be right up his alley. And I'm not just going to preach college just because your brother went or because your sister went. I need for you to do what's best for you and to be able to make a living. And college is just not for everybody. I knew at 17, I was sick of sitting in somebody's class. Like, now, did I need skills in order to do something? Yes, and I found that something for me. But I knew a four-year university, I was going, I'd be home after the first semester.
Yeah.
I mean, in real life, so, like, it's one of those things where most of the time, like, I don't want the government involved in nothing. I think they involved in too much stuff. I think some of this stuff need to be left to the people to divvy up and handle by themselves. Like, if we think college actually costs too much, stop going, and then they'll adjust the cost. Like, on some open market, on free market shit. Like, listen, oh, Duke is tripping this year. We ain't going to Duke. You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, that's some ideal world type shit. You know what I'm saying? That's not our current reality, so... But I don't know, like, how do we fix this shit? I do think if the government going to be involved, then fine. The government give out interest-free loans because it's in the government's interest to get people to learn how to do these new things in order for the country to still run, in order for the people to still pay property tax, income tax, the whole nine yards. So the government has a vested interest in people going to college and furthering their education. So fine, we'll give you the money. You just give me back, not with a whole bunch of interest. I think that's the only valid and the only thing that we can actually do moving forward to fix most of this stuff.
Yeah.
And as people get smarter and get online, they recognize that all these degrees that you get in college, that shit ain't really turning into real money because I need somebody to come fix my sink. I don't care. Like, come fix my sink. Come build my deck. You know,
that's the rub. I think, you know, a lot of us, man, we were told college for so long that, you know, you go to college and you incur all this debt and then you get out of college because, you know, you thinking, well, okay, I did what y'all told me to do. I went to college. Now the college degree is supposed to lead me into this career that's going to pay me X amount of dollars. And then you come out of there, you got all this debt. And then you go to this job and the job like, well, we can pay $35,000.
Like, should I went to a trade school.
Go ahead, Dan.
I think the biggest lie that we have been told is that the harder you work, the more you can accomplish, the more you can have, the further along you will be in life. And unfortunately, life just doesn't work like that. And people, college has been factored into that aspect of things. It's because you go to a four-year university. I go to a four-year university, I get my degree, I get a job, and then, you know, things will progress from that way, but like it doesn't mean anything, and it doesn't promise you a level of success. And when, like, when I look at like systematic things that have been put in place for us to not be able to get ahead, unfortunately, I would like to add higher education into that, because really, when you look at it, for a lot of us, that student loan debt is holding us back. You know, we have to take certain jobs in order to pay off that student loan debt, but this is not my field where I earned my degree. You know, I work with people every day that have advanced degrees, but they're saying, thank you for calling, you know, such and such, just like me. So, yeah. I mean, that advanced degree has not, you know, garnered you the level of success. A lady, you know, she has a degree in chemistry. Well, she working at the fucking bank, and you know, last time I checked, them two don't
chemical bank. No,
Comerica Bank. Comerica.
She get a job at chemical bank. You know, I got this whole chemistry shit going on. But like, I think when they told us that, it wasn't, they didn't do it as a lie. They did it because at the time, we need you to do something other than. Like, you 18 years old and there was a certain cap on what you can do without some sort of advanced knowledge, right? Mm-hmm. So the idea back in the day was, well, go to college and get a skill, get a trade, find out something that you can actually go out and do in this world. Well, we did that shit for a long time, and it's a lot of more people running around this country in the 20s than it was in the 60s.
Yeah.
Nigga, them jobs filled up. Like, we got enough insert social workers here. Like, fam, you know, you're not about this social worker shit is not about to save the world, fam. Like, it's a lot of us that's social workers. A lot of people, like, you got to do something that's that generates money. Because that's what we want you to do. We want you to do some, go somewhere and generate money and not be lazy. So I think that the work hard thing is like, don't sit around thinking the world gonna come to you. But like, that was a message we was, they were spitting out in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. Like at some point, you got to tweak that message.
Yeah, and I think a lot of, I think a lot of that too had to do with like opportunity and lack thereof. And so we look,
and the world, and the world just looked different.
Yeah, yeah,
and it just looked different.
And at that time, like, you know, people looked at like getting a college degree, like, you know, and even now people still like, I'm the first person in my family to graduate from college. Like they, like they looked at college as an opportunity to get out from where they were. And what we're finding out more and more as we, like I said, as we incur this debt, the, like the debt itself kind of keeps you where you are, especially when you get out of college and you incur this debt and the job market is telling you they can't pay you a wage that's even like, you know, they can't pay you a wage that can help you not only just live your life, but also pay back this debt that you really owe.
And then it's like, so like I've been in my line of work, what I do, there was a job that came available for GM.
Yeah.
That I can do with my eyes closed. You know what I'm saying? Some of the people that used to report to me went over there, but they're like, oh, we're not hiring you if you don't have a degree. Oh, your experience is great. Everything like that. So like the degree, depending on your field, it can unlock certain shit, which is kind of wild. Like, so, you know, I can do the job, but you still won't give it to me. Until I pay into this good old boy system network.
Hey, that's, you know, almost like them, that's like them job opportunities. You're like, yeah, man, we need you to have like 5 years experience. Like, bruh. Like,
I'm 22.
Like, what you mean? Like, I got, but I got learned experience at school. Like, nah, man, we need somebody who been doing this shit, though. It's an entry
level. That's why I started
job.
Opening my, that's why I started like opening companies and businesses that I can be like, oh, I work for this company. I work for Shop Talk Podcast Studio as a head audio engineer for X amount of years. You can't take that away from me. That's experience, whether I get a degree or not. Oh, I work here. Oh, I did video production for Carter Media Productions starting in 2018. Yeah. Go look it up on the books. It's a real company, and I really work there. You know what I mean? So forget them, man. I don't need their validation.
Indeed, man. Indeed. But, yo, man, that's enough of the newsy shit, man. Let's get into some messy shit, man. Let's go to Blue Blazers.
What in Blue Blazers is going on out here? Did this nigga just say Blue Blazers?
All right. Our first story here in Blue Blazers, man. Yo, man, it's over. It's over. Kanye West and Kim K. It's a motherfucking rap, man. Yo, I think we about to get some fire music from Kanye again.
Kanye is about to drop the most incredible album of his career when she move out and take them kids, man. It's going to be College Dropout on steroids. It's going to be incredible. I cannot wait. This whole gospel thing, it's our window. It's back to bitches and hoes for Kanye.
You don't think we're going to get like, no, I'm looking more for like My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, because I think that was his best work, man. Like, back to back.
I would agree. And I think we will get something more on the, like, he's going to lock himself in the studio in Wyoming, and when he reemerges, he'll have hair down to his waist, and he will have crafted a sonic masterpiece.
Now, the other question.
I don't want to be famous, dog. I swear to God, I don't want to be famous, dog. Like, this shit is the worst, dog.
Yeah.
Like, you think about it, this shit is the worst.
It's fucked up. We looking for, like, good music coming from this nigga after he going through his worst.
I feel bad for Kanye. Like, this nigga has documented mental health issues. Not even like, yo, this nigga crazy. Like, no, like, literally. Yeah. Mad depression, on medicine, in and out of the hospital. And, like, I don't know that he about to give us good music. I think it could be a downward spiral. Whether we thought Kim was good for him or not initially, fam, he needs some sense of normalcy. If that was his base, and now that his base is gone, and he was already wilding before he, and if he take his the children away, you know what I'm saying? Like, she'll fuck around and, yeah, he's not safe to be around the kid. Like, no, this should be a, this is not like the part of the story when we watching the documentary where the music gets better. This is the dark part where the music changed, and they're like, dun, dun, dun. This could be very, very bad.
See, Jay got me feeling over here, like, feeling bad like I was when I was making those jokes about Texas earlier, bro. Like,
like, this might be bad. Now, granted, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy is Kanye at his, for me, musically at his peak. That was, you know what I'm saying?
Nigga, that was, that shit was amazing.
That's bro. That's a masterpiece.
But even but that like, work came from a breakup.
I love like Kanye music for the most part. His last the gospel album, I listened to the Sunday service one. You know what I'm saying, with the choir. Nigga, I listened to that shit for a long period of time every single day. You know what I'm saying? Before I started my day. Like, regardless what he going through politically and everything in his mind, when them chords hit you and them and that's the church song that you grew up on with the R&B track that you really grew up on too, I literally felt better listening to Hallelujah, Salvation and Glory. Like that's one of my favorite church songs. And when you put that on a different, like, yo, I pray for him, man. I do hope I get good music, but I hope he okay. Cause we all loved Kanye at some point, right?
Yeah, like, I did, man. Like I'm gonna be honest with you, man, because I've gone in on Kanye here on this mic quite a bit, man. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that I'm a Chicago guy, man. And like, you know, there was that pride of like, nigga, one of us Chicago niggas came out here and did this shit and like did it in a real big way. And then when he, you know, went through his transition, man, like nigga felt betrayed, bro, like hurt, you know what I'm saying? And so I haven't really been able to listen, not even to the old Kanye shit, because like now it feels different. You know what I'm saying? Like now it's like, and this is just a personal thing. Like I ain't tripping on anybody else. This is just a personal thing for me. Like it's hard for me to consume it knowing what's going on like now. And so like even while I'm listening to this shit, I'm like, man, but this nigga and Trump though, bro. Like, and I like,
but Kanye not well though. You know what I'm saying?
I know that. But I'm just saying,
once I figured out he wasn't well, all that Trump shit, that the feelings that I had of, I gave him like, whose man's is this and shit. But like once I realized, I'm like, oh, this nigga not well.
He was exploited.
I stopped listening. I was like, oh, this nigga not well. It don't matter what he say.
Yeah.
Like the nigga crying with a bulletproof vest on, talking about my wife is gonna abort my baby. Like that's not.
And I think that was actually what sealed the deal with him and his wife, man. Like when he got out and he told that story publicly, and that was something. That was a family story. That was something you keep in. That's in house business, bro. Like everybody ain't gotta know this. And when he went out there and told that story, I think that's probably like what probably broke the camel's back for Kim. Like, all right, this nigga's wild.
Also, I don't know why we hate Kim Kardashian so much. I don't watch the show, so maybe it was some shit that's been on. I don't necessarily know why we hate her, but I just know it's like we don't like the Kardashians. That's just the thing.
I'm indifferent to the Kardashians, but I think this is just me, you know, garnering what I've seen of some of the criticisms of the Kardashians is that, for the most part, folks feel like the Kardashians get credit for doing certain things that black women wouldn't necessarily get the same credit for doing. Like the Kardashians are given credit for like doing and creating looks and styles and things like that when sisters been out here rocking it. And then the Kardashians are the ones who are given credit for making these things. Like, as if
Don't be mad at me. Be mad at the person that gave me the credit. You know what I'm saying? Like, if the publication is saying it, well, nigga, he mad at the publication. But I say that to say this. As far as her and Kanye relationship, she ain't never said nothing bad about that man. Every time he done did something crazy, she always been supportive publicly for him. Like, hey, this is going on. And if you listen to other people, it was her telling them, like, yo, you should probably chill out. You sure you want to do this? Like, I don't know that she been, again, I mean, I'm from the outside looking in. I don't know them. So
right.
She's been very supportive of him publicly of him when easily she could have left a long time ago. Like she could have easily left like a long time ago, man.
Yeah.
But
facts.
Man, that'd be real petty for Ray J to be like, we look up and like Kim Kardashian and Ray J back together though. That'd be fucked up.
Like who can Kim, we gotta stay single at this point. First off, she 40 something, right?
I mean, yeah, me and Kim the same age. I just turned 40 last year.
She's not gonna stop fucking. She's not gonna be single. And I give her 18 months before she back out here with somebody that's halfway famous, and then we see crazy baby daddy Kanye.
Nah, I don't see that, dog. Like once you go to a certain level, you can't go down. you have to go up. And it's not that many that's up that want a 40-year-old mother of four, divorced three times. Like, no, that's not like somebody. You don't get no credit for bagging for Kanye. I mean, for Kim, 15 years in the, like, I don't think that's the thing.
I mean, well, here's the thing. Like, you know, whether we talking about how many, you know, bodies Kim got or not, like, people said that same shit about Kanye. Like, it was, and that's why, like, Ray J came out with that I Hit It First shit. You know what I'm saying? And, like, to stake his flag, like, and now all y'all want her. But, like, that's a 40-year-old woman. Yeah, she got four kids, but she's also, like, worth half a Billy. You know what I'm saying?
I,
like,
can't use your money.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I don't think that the people who, like, are interested in Kim Kardashian are worried about Kim Kardashian having four kids, especially when your kid's daddy is Kanye West. Like, I don't think that they worrying about that sort of shit. I think, yo, somebody still...
Oh, that shit matter, though.
Somebody still... That shit Kim matter. Kardashian.
Somebody gonna smash, for sure. It's, like, you know,
somebody still smash. Kim Kardashian.
It matters because you just a regular nigga in Detroit, but, like, like, once your social here, circle...
They not gonna
Jay, care. if you are also a millionaire living in Hollywood,
I would pick somebody without four kids. I'll pick somebody without the baggage. I got, if I'm a millionaire in that circle, why would I pick the 40-year-old woman with four kids who got the crazy baby daddy who got four other ex-husbands? Like, clearly this is not the greatest package because everybody then got rid of it. And I'm a rich person who's on that level. Why would I pick her? I got the creme de la creme. I got the pick of the pick. Why would I pick her? She not even the hottest sister no more. Like, why would I pick her? Like, I'm not telling, on some, I'm a regular guy, but if I'm on this upper echelon, nigga, I would go grab one of the younger sisters.
I'm telling you right now, mark my words, give it a year, Kim Kardashian will be with somebody else. And it's gonna
be a step down, for sure.
I don't know, man. We gonna see.
Who to step up?
I don't know yet. I don't know.
Unless she get with Drake. Hey, Drake, I can see Drake doing some crazy shit.
He
might do it
just to be petty. You know what I'm saying? Drake, like, hey, man, so I was with you.
Like,
he on Instagram with Kanye kids. You know what I'm saying? Talking shit. So I had the kids today. Like, and now all the niggas that hate Russell Wilson, like all the future hire that hate Russell Wilson, go be on Drake head. He gonna have Kanye heads on Drake head because he out here raising Kanye kids. Watch.
In real life, niggas ain't never like Russell Wilson. And after he didn't pass the ball off to Marshawn for the damn touchdown, like, that nigga can do anything. Don't nobody like that nigga because don't nobody like that nigga. If it wasn't for the Sierra thing, like, we still wouldn't be fucking with you, nigga. Why didn't you get that nigga the ball, man? Super Bowl.
He didn't call the check down. They like, nigga, you could have called the check down. Fuck what Pete Carroll talking about. Give it to Beast Mode. Give it to Beast Mode.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, Dave, you back with us, man?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure you could hear us and everything, man. But yo, man, Kim K and Kanye.
Yeah, my bad.
They getting
divorced. That's unfortunate, though, man. I don't wish divorce on nobody.
Yeah, me neither.
Unless it's a situation where if safety concerns, but you know,
yeah,
I don't wish death. I mean, wish divorce on nobody.
Yeah.
As the only divorced man, I think on the broadcast, like, yeah, sometimes it's needed.
Oh, indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed.
That woman had to get away from you, Dame.
I needed to be divorced from my ex-wife. I needed.
There you go. Now, we got another story. This is actually some local shit here, man. So, you know, for those of you who are not from Detroit, you might not be privy to this story. But apparently, an older gentleman was carrying a pistol in a gas station. And he got robbed of this pistol. And actually had his gun pointed back at him as they left the damn gas station with his shit.
Well, that'll be a monkey's bare-assed uncle.
Yeah, man. I got...
Well, you know, I watched that video a few times, right?
I'm actually about to pull the video up for the people in the chat room so they can see it, too. Let me pull this up. Where is it? Because this is actually kind of crazy. I got a couple theories about this, too. But, yeah, this is actually kind of crazy. This is the one with the video, so let me pull this up.
This is actually
kind of
crazy.
Hey, man,
Comcast, them young boys are scoping out that old man.
Oh yeah, most definitely. But Comcast about to be giving me some money back. I pay too much money for this shit to be too slow. let me pull this up. All right, here we go, man. Check this out. Look like I know that little nigga too, man.
We all know that. It's the same little nigga that be at the gas station in every hood USA.
Hold on, let me rewind this because I had to maximize that screen. But check this out, man. So he walks in. My man got the, it looked like he got the gun in his pocket. I don't even see a holster. It looked like he got it in his pocket.
He does.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. A loose-ass cargo pan pocket.
Yep. He's potting in the dough like, all right, nigga, hurry up, hurry up. Now, you got an Extendo magazine in that shit, right? What was that, 30
now, rounds? See, that's the guy. See, that's the dude in the red coat, I mean, red hoodie. He had a gun on him. Like that, the one he was pointing at him wasn't the dude's gun. He put dude's gun in his little pocket, you know, his front pocket. The Extendo is his gun.
Okay. I was trying to figure this out, right? Because I saw the video and then I saw him pull out the gun with the extended magazine. And I'm like, now I know I didn't see an extended magazine in that gun when he pulled it out of his pocket, right? But here's the thing, right? Because, like, I think all of us here are gun owners, right? Am I correct?
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm not the biggest fan of open carry. Never have been. Every time I would see anybody openly carrying, the first thing I would think is, this nigga ain't meant to go get his shit like licensed so he can carry that shit concealed. I feel like when you open carrying, you bring way too much attention to yourself. The people that you don't want to know that you got a gun, like, they watching you. And the people that you want to know that you got a gun, they watching you too. This dude walked in there not paying attention to his surroundings, didn't know what was going on around him, and like put himself in a position where you end up getting robbed of the very thing that you thought was going to keep you safe out here in these streets.
Yeah.
The other part that I thought about this was, and I remember, like, because last year, you know, with all of the demonstrations that were going on last year, with the political climate that was going on last year, and actually going out and buying some more firearms last year, whole bunch of motherfuckers out here buying guns, buying up all the ammo. And I know in Wayne County, whole bunch of people went out and bought guns and they can't even get their concealed license permits processed. Like, I think it's like a bunch of folks now, I think they like the waiting list is out to 2022. So like, as I'm watching this, I'm just looking at it. It's like a perfect storm of a bunch of shit. You got a whole bunch of scared folks out here. You got a bunch of people who got guns that don't really know how to use these guns. You got a whole bunch of folks who maybe even got a license that don't really know all the rules to carry into. But then also you got some bureaucratic shit going on to where people who want to protect themselves legally can't do everything that they can legally because of the bureaucratic shit that's going on with the government, man. So like, when you saw this video of, like, you know, Youngin just snatching my man's gun up out of his pocket, man, what did y'all see? You know, what did y'all think about that shit?
Man, I felt bad for the dude.
I did too.
Because he wasn't open carrying. It was just sticking out of his pocket. Mm-hmm. My dad open carry. You know what I'm saying? Like, he got a holster. So when he be out and about, he open carry. And he got, you know, he got some shit for concealed carry. But, like, my dad, what, 63 years old? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, like, and I guess because that was on his. So when he walked in, they probably was plotting on him. So the gun was on his right side. His left side is towards the door. So he's probably thinking that if anything happened, he still got to get to him. My man just slipped around, knew where it was at, and just pulled it out because he had on, looked like either some jogging pants or some cargo pants.
Yeah.
That's not safe for him to do that. But, like, I think the dude was in his 50s or something like that.
Yeah, I think he's like
50
years old.
I felt it's unfortunate, you know what I'm saying? But, like, to your point, once you get up in a little age and your reflexes ain't fast as they once was, you probably shouldn't have it out because somebody can take it from you. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that was a learning experience from him because he probably think he still the hot peg on the street.
But
man,
not only that, did you see when my man took his shit? He actually went after old boy. Like, he got your gun. His reflex was like, I'm about to whoop your ass. Like,
because, like, once you get, like, you don't know what to do. You's like, hey. Like, oh shit. Mm-hmm. And a lot of older people out here, fam, you don't know what type of time these kids is on. Mm-hmm. Like, it hasn't crossed your mind. You're not on social media. You're not, like, out and about. Like, you have no idea how it is out here in these streets.
Yeah.
And it's a different ball game.
Yeah, I look at it like when we all carry. And when you carry, like, I don't think any of us carry maliciously, like, oh, when I see Ronald at the gas station, I'm going to pop him. But it's always the fact that, like, you have to be aware of your surroundings, aware of what's going on around you, and that you have a different bullseye on you. Unfortunately, that older gentleman was just probably getting some gas and playing his lottery and not thinking, like, well, this is my fourth run of the day, like, that I have to be worried about these things. But when your spidey senses are not up, you know, unfortunately, like, you can get got, and it's not stay safe, it's stay dangerous. And he just wasn't in that frame of mind. And unfortunately, them young boys probably saw him get out the car and have been plotting on him since, you know, he was trying to figure out what pump he's going to put $25 on. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's unfortunate, but, like, the game is the game.
Man, I worry about my pops. You know what I'm saying? When he going to take the grandkids, you know, back to the crib or whatever. They live in the city. You know what I'm saying? They live in the neighborhood. So he's always carrying. But, like you don't know how these kids are. I don't know if you know how to – because, like, as an adult, as a man, there's a certain level of respect you deserve that you're going to demand as a man. And I don't know that they know that you can't really do that with these kids these days. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like – I feel bad for the dude.
And sometimes, too, like, little things can kind of – just little things, man. And I don't know if, like, a lot of folks really know. Like, just letting people know that you see them can kind of, like, mitigate a lot of shit. So when I'm walking into, like, a gas station or anything else, one of the first things I do if I see it, what's up, man? How you doing? You know what I'm saying? Or just a little head nod. I'm aware. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm aware. I see you. And I'm going to make
sure – And guess what I say, too? I say, what's up, young man?
Yeah.
You can know that me and you not the same. I might got a young look. I'll be 39 and shit, a month and a half. Like, I'm not, we not peers.
Yeah.
Hey, young man, you drop something. Like, you need to there needs to be a line of demarcation. I'm an adult. I'm not a child out here. Hey, young man.
Yeah. But yeah, man, like, that was, like I said, this is another thing. And this is something I kind of want to hit on too. You got a bunch of people out here, like I said, even though you got folks who are, like, trying to get their CPLs processed, and it's taking forever for them to get their CPLs processed. But you got a bunch of, like, concealed pistol carry instructors out here, unscrupulous motherfuckers, who are just taking, like, little $69, $79, $89, and handing out certificates.
Facts.
And they ain't teaching people shit. So you got folks out here who are open carrying because they can't carry this shit concealed yet. But they don't know once you get in that car, hey, man, you need to separate that gun from that ammunition when you get in this car. Otherwise, it's now considered a concealed weapon. Right. Like, and they don't know that. They just like, all right, so it's out in the open. It's out of my T-shirt. You get in the car, it's now a concealed weapon. And the police pull you over, you going to jail for carrying a concealed weapon, bro. Like,
that's
not
a fact.
They're not teaching them that. And so, like, I just kind of want to highlight that, man. Like, yo, just because you got your little certificate, if they didn't take you to the fucking range to show you how to, like, break your shit down, how to shoot your shit, they ain't showed you no videos on how to, like, you know, some of the laws or whatever else. You just did your shit on, like, a PowerPoint presentation, or they did it remotely on Zoom, and, like, all right, man, I'm gonna fax you the certificate real quick. And you take that to the Wayne County clerk or the Oakland County clerk or wherever you at. All right, man, so you got your shit, but you ain't got your shit the right way, and you're going to be – your ass going to be in a sling, too.
That's a fact, man.
Absolutely.
So that's –
more than just having a gun, it's the education behind it.
Yeah, because you're going to have a bunch of folks out here, man, getting caught up, man. I've been arrested for a gun that I didn't even have on me. You know what I'm saying? Like, and this was, like, out of state and shit. I'll tell y'all about it offline. The folks who live, like, listen to the Spare Report long enough to know, like, this is back at episode 11, so it goes back a ways. But, like, yo, man, if you don't know your shit, you will have your ass in the sling, man. If you're gonna be out here carrying,
like, it's a lot of responsibility when you carry a gun. You know what I'm saying? Like, I literally have to make sure I don't get into no argument with somebody. I have to de-escalate certain situations.
Yeah.
If there's a certain place that I wouldn't normally go, I'm not gonna go there today just because I have a gun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's just so much of how you need to interact with police officers when they come to your vehicle.
Yeah.
How does that notification sound when you will notify them? Like, it's in real life, it's a hassle.
Yo, you low know, key, because like anytime I get pulled over by the police now, the first thing I do is put both my hands outside the car. I roll the windows down, put both my hands outside the car, because especially here, I know they already know I'm licensed. When they run the, when they run the plate, they already know this dude got a license to carry. He might have it in there.
So, see, years ago, when mine got suspended, they pulled me over like, do you got your gun in the car?
Yeah.
I'm like, no, it's suspended. Like, okay, we're just like, you knew that.
Yeah,
like, first of all, I never told you that I had one. He asked, why didn't I say something? Because, like, it's suspended. Yeah. I don't have it. Like,
yeah, they already know. Like, and that's shit. We might have to give a class on that shit on some podcast shit. Like, for real, for real. But, yo, man, don't be out here slipping, man. And, like, you know, I feel sorry for the older brother, man, for having this shit taken from him that way, man. And I hope don't nobody, like, become a victim of that piece. You know, because
it's a learning, that's a teachable moment for a lot of people.
Yeah, man. But yo, they took your shit from him at the gas station, bro. That's crazy. Now another story that we got here that's like crazy as shit. I thought it was a goddamn joke when I first saw it. But there's this woman in Britain who didn't believe in, you know, the COVID vaccine. So her and her kids been drinking piss. They own piss for the better part of 4 days.
God damn.
They've been drinking their own piss for 4 days to try not to get the COVID-19, man.
So, my nigga, there's never a situation where I'm going to drink my own piss. Like, I done seen some shit, like, while you in the desert, if you drink it, I'm going to starve. I'm going to dehydrate. I'm going to die before I drink my own piss. So, if y'all find me somewhere stranded on a deserted island, you know that I died because I would not drink my goddamn piss. It's not fucking happening. I don't give a fuck what you tell me.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care what you say. Like, you're not gonna sell me on drinking warm piss. Like, you just not.
Hey, warm, just not. Cold. Hey. I don't give a fuck. It's never happening, my nigga. It is never gonna happen.
Bear Grylls is getting that shit.
Like, I could have the whatever insert disease here. This is the cure, nigga. When it's my time to go, it's my time to go.
Kill me, yeah.
Bear Grylls did that shit.
I'm not doing it, dog. Like, can't channel. Do it.
And, like, this motherfucker, like, was stranded in the desert as much as somebody with a camera crew could be stranded in the desert. And, like, I remember he killed a snake, right? He killed a snake, he cooked the snake, and he peeled the skin back, and he kept the skin, had the skin strapped on his shoulder or whatever, right? He went to piss, he pissed in the skin, and then he tied a knot at the end of the skin, put that shit back over his shoulder. When he felt like he was getting thirsty, he went on ahead, cracked that skin open, and drank his own piss as a way of survival. Man. Now
he was white, wasn't he?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Bear Grylls is white. Bear Grylls is white. And I think that was on the Discovery Channel. I saw it about 8 years ago. But this woman here, I'm going to read the story. This comes out of Fox 2 Detroit. It says, a mother trying to protect herself and her family from the novel coronavirus ended up being duped by false information that led her to drink her own urine. For 4 days, the British woman and her four children gulped down their own urine, believing it would protect them from COVID-19. Urine is a waste product of the body. Its consumption is generally frowned upon in westernized medicine, according to a 2015 study conducted by the Journal of Clinical Aesthetic Dermatology. Symbolic gender equality signs on a restaurant. Okay, that's a whole ass ad. Urine contains high concentrations of toxins and salt that the body has already rid itself of. Once outside the body, urine quickly attracts more bacteria. Consuming it can cause a person harm. The British woman told officials she was convinced to drink her pee by a trusted friend or relative who has served as the mom's primary source of pandemic-related news. The mother says she put her faith in natural cures, even so the medical community has not yet recognized anything as a cure for COVID-19. To date, vaccines are the only thing clinically proven to prevent COVID-19 illness, but the mom cited a debunked conspiracy theory involving Bill and Melinda Gates when voicing her distrust of vaccines. Misinformation has proven to be a detriment to public health throughout the pandemic. Aside from drinking urine, many so-called cures or preventative measures have proven futile. So, yeah, man.
There's no way I'm drinking my pee. Yeah, like, man. You are off in the brain when you even started drinking your pee in the first place. I can't put too much.
Like somebody was like, hey, this is just a joke that went way too far.
Like, I didn't believe the bitches gonna do it. Like,
I get all my pandemic news from my friend. Nigga, you ain't got a computer? You don't got a cell phone? Like, what? You ain't got a TV? Fuck out of here, dog.
Listen, man.
When you jump into things that stupidly, like, I feel like you kind of deserve whatever the fuck happened to you.
Hey, man, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. Win
stupid prizes, man.
Every like, single time.
And one of the things, like, because I did get vaccinated. I got my first dose of the Moderna vaccine Thursday. One of the things I was thinking about, you know, because, you know, we get a bunch of information as to why we shouldn't do it. Some of that information is false. Some of it is our misunderstandings of prior historical events. But one of the things I thought about before I got the vaccine was, like, a lot of the people who were telling folks not to get vaccinated were skipping the line to themselves get vaccinated. And I thought that was interesting as hell. But also, because this particular disease is hitting the Black community in a disproportionate rate, and because I'm in such a public job where, like, I'm dealing with strangers every fucking day, like, and also because my in-laws are of advanced age, I'm like, nah, man, I want to do what I can to protect not only me, but protect my family. Because even if I do catch it, maybe I'm asymptomatic. Maybe I could be asymptomatic carrier and never really have any real effects, but I could pass it on to somebody else and fuck them up. I didn't go home to Chicago to see my grandmother for the last year of her life because I didn't want anything to happen to her. You know, that is like that sort of thing. And so, like, as you know, once I got the vaccine, one of the things I said I was going to do was I was going to tell people my experience with it, you know, to kind of like demystify or just tell folks how I've been feeling since I got it. And truthfully speaking, the only thing I got as far as a side effect was, like, it's a little tender where they administered the vaccine. That's it. I haven't felt drowsy, haven't felt like nauseous, haven't felt sick or anything like that. But yeah, I did that because I felt like it was important. And I also felt like it was important for those around me who have to be around me considering the type of job that I got. So yeah, man, I'd much rather do this than to be in the bathroom collecting my own piss to put in the refrigerator and possibly drink that shit.
Come on, that's man. Okay. Come on, man.
Come on what? Come on what?
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, in your right mind, just not knowing nothing about nothing. If somebody told you to put piss in the refrigerator to drink it later because it's going to help you, like, how ignorant does that shit sound,
hey,
man?
It sounds,
like, come on, man.
Hey, but we talking, think about what's happening in the world, though, and think about the amount of distrust that people have in the vaccine, so much so that they'd be willing to drink their own piss as opposed to getting the vaccine. Like, that's a level of crazy. I'm sorry. That's a level of distrust. That I don't know I can subscribe to. That's just me.
It's a lot. Yeah.
You know, like, that's crazy. But yo, she and her kids, I feel sorry for the kids, man.
Yeah.
Because I know the kid, like, this is gross, mommy. Like,
I drink. Yeah, I'm going to hold off on drinking my piss. I'm going to hold off on the vaccine for right now.
Yeah.
We'll see how that shit happen in the future. For right now, I'm straight. But I don't judge nobody who do, and I don't judge nobody who don't, because everybody got their own reasons. And if those reasons are valid to you, then more power to you. As long as you know why you're doing what you're doing, and you're not doing it because somebody told you to, or you're not doing it because somebody told you not to do it, if you can make up your decision yourself, and man, more power to you, man, on whatever you decide, because ultimately it's your choice.
Yeah.
You know?
Speaking of choices, a coworker of mine, he told me his wife went and got the vaccine,
mm-hmm.
and he was upset about it. Mm-hmm. And he was upset because he didn't want to get the vaccine, and she went on ahead and got it herself. He was like, "I'm like, so why are you pissed?" He's like, "Cause you know we married, nigga. We move as a unit."
Facts. And I'm the head of the household.
I don't know, man.
Consult me.
I mean, depends. Depends on like how they home dynamic work. He's saying they move as a unit, but she like, nigga, I've had COVID-19. If I can do anything to not get that shit again, I'll do that.
So just to make sure I'm correct.
Yeah.
So the vaccine doesn't actually stop you from getting it.
No.
And it doesn't stop you from and doesn't prevent you from passing it. It does supposed to make you like if you do get the vaccine, it's enough. For these are layman terms, it's enough shit going on that it won't negatively impact you like you would get, so, like it would negatively impact somebody without it.
So here's the thing: right. The vaccine doesn't prevent you from getting it, right? You can still get COVID-19 if you get vaccinated. What happens is if you've been vaccinated is that it mitigates the severity of the disease if you are to contract it, right? So you don't deal with as severe symptoms if you are to get it as opposed to had you gotten it and you weren't vaccinated against it. The other thing about the vaccine right now is that it does help prevent you from passing it on to somebody else. And that's the
It's like it shortens the window that you like, so like kind of active or some shit.
So
right?
it kind of what's the word I'm looking for right here? I can't think of the word that I'm looking for right now, but it kind of mitigates your ability to pass this on to somebody else.
So before they was like, you can be quote unquote viral for 14 days, you can pass it.
Yeah.
What I heard is when you get the vaccine, it shortened that 14 days up. Where if you got it, you're not contagious for that 14 days.
You're not contagious. And so, you know, the thing is, even with having the vaccine, you still got to wear your mask. You still got to do the social distancing. But, you know, the thing is the passing it on to someone else who may be a bit more vulnerable than you would be, right? And that's part of the reason why I didn't want to go around like my grandmother. Like, my grandma passed away last August anyway, whether I came home or not. But I knew I could not have lived with myself.
Sorry
to hear that, man. Yeah, I appreciate that, brother. But I know I could not have lived with myself had, you know, working the type of job that I do, possibly having it, maybe giving it to her, and me being the reason that Granny ain't here no more. Like, I don't know if I could have lived with myself with that.
I feel you.
So, like, you know, and like I said, my in-laws are a bit up there in age now too. So if I can be around them and not put them in any sort of, like, you know, danger, I can get the vaccine, yeah, I'll do that. Now, they've been vaccinated too. Now, the only person I'm trying to, like, my wife wants it, and we're trying to get her, you know, the shit. But, you know, there's, she ain't on, like, they, you know, they prioritizing certain folks. But, yeah, man, like, we got all the way off of that, but like we started the story about a woman in Britain drinking her own pee to keep from getting the COVID.
I'm all set on that.
I'll be honest. I'm gonna take the vaccine. I've signed up to take it, but I'm doing it for the reason that I know I have some serious health concerns. If I catch COVID, you know, it might be RIP for me. I saw my ex-wife, my son, and her fiance have it, and I saw, you know, the effects of it, and I just can't take the chance.
Yeah.
And it was only just by happenstance that I didn't get it, because he was actually with me, like, when she found out she had it. So, you know, he could have easily passed it to me just, you know, through a hug, you know, coughing in my room, anything. So, no, I've signed up to go ahead and get it. And once it's available to me, you know, I'm gonna take it. Like, it can't be. You know, I'm not going to live with that fear of it. It can't be no worse than anything else that I've dealt with.
Indeed, brother. Indeed. We got one last story here, bro. Tessica Brown. Gorilla Glue Hair Girl. What's her name? Gorilla Glue Girl. How are they doing that? She has an agent now, y'all.
She's for going sure. out
and got herself a talent agent. As a matter of fact, let me pull this story up because I thought this was interesting. I was more so like, nigga, what? Like, she got an agent, though, for real? But we get this out of the New York Post. It says, looks like she wants to stick around for a while. The Louisiana woman who went viral after getting Gorilla Glue globbed in her hair has taken a big step towards making her 15 minutes of fame last as long as a full scout, a scout full of adhesive, and has hired a full-blown celebrity management team, including an agent. Tessica Brown, 40, has teamed up with the professional fame experts in addition to recently unveiling her merchandise line. Days after returning home from her hair-saving surgery in Beverly Hills, the mother of five has partnered with Getoni, who represents celebrities like Blac Chyna, Lamar Odom, and Tommy Lee, and provides product placement, marketing, celebrity management, and casting for scripted and reality television. She might get a show. Brown has also teamed up with BMB Talent Agency, which specializes in branding, social media marketing, and endorsements, according to her Instagram page, man. So I know people got some feelings about this. How you feel about this, Dan?
I don't think it's nothing wrong with it. Accustomed to talking in the media and public settings, you need some.
You breaking up there a little bit, brother.
You dropped out. So listen, I don't think there's nothing wrong with it.
Am I back?
I saw.
Yeah, you're back
now.
Okay, and I'm just gonna say, like, my bad, man. I had to get out and run because I'm actually like up the street picking up my teenage daughter because she's inconsiderate as fuck.
It's cool, but, brother.
But when you're not used to dealing with the media, dealing with the public in that type of light, you do need some assistance. Yeah. I'm glad she's getting the help that she needs so she can talk eloquently, so she can talk, you know, with some force of confidence. And if there is a way to monetize and try and squeeze another couple dollars out of what happened, I don't have no problem with black people getting their coins.
For sure. Especially, like, they was mad that she made some T-shirts. I'm like, you know what I mean? People that made money off of her, you know what I'm saying? Talk shows, internet shows, YouTube shows, they made put her likeness and everything on there, and they get their little ad revenue and everything. Hell yeah, if y'all making money off my face, why the fuck would I not make some money off my face?
Yeah.
And because we live in an area where everybody wants to talk to the person who had the tragedy or whatever, oh yeah, I'll give me an agent, because now I can actually, before, like, if the Shade Room hit a whole girl up and like, yo, we want you to do this, she'd have did it for free. Because I'm just me. Now that you got a talent agency, yeah, I'm going to go on The View. But now when I'm on The View, y'all going to pay me $15,000 or y'all going to pay me insert whatever. So yeah, get you a talent agency.
And I can tell my own story.
Uh-oh, I think Dane said so she can tell her own story.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Which is important. Because, like, I felt bad for the girl, to be perfectly honest. I know she did something stupid, but yeah. I've done stupid shit, too. Yeah. My shit wasn't in public, though.
Like, when I first saw the story, like, I thought it was funny, right? Like,
yeah, for
like,
sure.
I thought it was funny. And then I started feeling indifferent. You know, I was like, all right, you know, I ain't got to feel any, you know, sort of way, one way or the other. Like, all right, that's fucked up what happened to her or whatever. She did it to herself. And, like, people, like, that's the thing. Like, folks just... There's this thing, like, you can just keep scrolling, man. You ain't got to say shit about everything. You know what I'm saying? Like, you ain't got to have an opinion on everything. And I think, you know, because it went to social media, everybody feels like they have something, you know, they have to say something about it. I mean, I guess we talking about it now, so we got to say something about it. But, like, the level of vitriol that folks had for her when, like, she was getting any sort of, like she when she got the GoFundMe, and they're like, man, she did this shit for the GoFundMe. She did this shit for the clout. Like, I doubt that she came into, like, you know what? This will really kill her, man. If I went on ahead and sprayed this shit on my head.
Now, the people who did it after her?
Right. That's what I was getting to.
That's something different.
That's like, what I was getting to.
They owe some other shit.
Because I saw another person, some white dude or yeah. white trans, or however they identify.
Hey, Johnson, spam.
Yeah. We hear you, Dan.
Gentlemen, I'm sorry to have to do this, but I gotta jump off into daddy duty.
Hey, brother, take care of your business. I appreciate you coming on. We definitely gotta do this again soon.
Hey, man, I love and appreciate you. I definitely love and appreciate you, and I'll tap in with y'all real soon, man.
Indeed, brother. Take care of them kids. Right, we'll talk brother. To you, brother.
All right, man. Take care.
One. Yeah.
Yep.
But that one, it was this one person I saw, like, started to go viral after that. It was a pink-haired person, and they sprayed the shit in their hair. They tried to run the comb through it, and it got stuck and this shit. And then they started talking about some, oh, my God, I'm having a panic attack. And here's the thing. This is how I know I'm getting old, B. When I saw, like, they was like, yo, I'm having a panic attack, and they start, I'm like, and the first thing you thought to do was hit the record button.
Yeah, you know, that shit was so fake. And even after he got the money,
oh, he it got was money. Fake. They got money. People gave that. Yeah, money? I didn't yeah, know.
He said he
money.
Set up the GoFundMe for like $14,000, so wow. he can go get the surgery. Like, all this stuff happened in the same day.
Yeah,
I tell you, when I started feeling bad for her, right? When I started feeling bad for her, when I realized she wasn't a girl. She was a mom.
Yeah,
she's 40 years old, and she said her children were at school, but the teachers at school. We're talking about it, and her children felt the way, right? Mm. And then her smallest daughter, she went to go do her hair, and she was like, no, mommy, you can't do my hair. And she thought she was playing, you know what I'm saying? But her mom, I mean, she wouldn't let her mom do her hair. And she looking at all this shit on the internet, right? And like, people on the internet keep telling her something. It was like, oh, shit, she's suing Gorilla Glue. She doing this. She was like, I'm not. Like, I don't know where this stuff. She really looked distraught. She was like, if y'all really know me, y'all know I wouldn't do this for clout. And I don't know why y'all keep saying this. They keep telling me to stop looking at the comments, but I can't. Like, she just a regular person living in Louisiana, and now the whole world is sending her death threats and saying, like, oh, and now her daughter won't even let her do her fucking singing span is cracking up.
Bro! Bro, you know how fucked up it gotta be for your baby to be like, nah, mama, you ain't doing shit, man. Like, I can't.
Like, she's seeing it. Everybody keep telling her mama is so bad. I'm like, yo, this is sad. And this is when she still had it in her hair, too.
I didn't know. Like, I had no idea about that part of the
her
story.
Sister came over and cut her ponytail off. I saw, you know what I'm saying, trying to get to it.
Her hair, like, so then, she was crying in, like, the rag and stuff like that. Like, I saw that. I'm like, damn, this is actually kind of fucked up. But, like, the baby telling her, nah, mama, you can't do much.
And, like, she said to herself, she was like, look, she ran out of other stuff. She put that in her hair, and yeah, she said, like, I can make it to the crib in, like, 2 hours, wash it out. And, like, it was a dumb mistake. It was I won't say mistake, but it was a dumb move.
It was a dumb move. It was a dumb move, most definitely.
The one time the packaging is actually correct.
You know what, though? Right? So, some good things came out of this, though, right? So she donated most of that money that she got out of the GoFundMe. More people became aware of the plastic surgeon, who happened to be a brother, who got that shit up out of her hair. He was the champ of the week this week. He was the champ of the week on the Spare Report podcast last week for doing that shit. Because a lot of folks thought that girl wasn't going to have no scalp. She was going to have to get all
that's why she. That's so, why she put the GoFundMe to get fucking wigs. So y'all keep telling you got to cut your hair off. You got to cut your hair off.
So, like, some good things came out of it. Like, she got a lot of undeserved hate. But, like, yo, the baby telling you, like, damn, that's fucked up. Imagine being like a barber and your son told you, like, bro, nah, pops, you can't put the clippers up here, bro.
Shit hurtful, man.
That shit hurtful.
Like,
man.
I gave you life. Like, let me give you some braids.
That's some shit, man. Hey, man, real talk, Jay Johnson, man. I appreciate you brothers coming on this week, man. I enjoyed talking with y'all, enjoyed chopping up with y'all.
Tell
the folks, man, how they can get in touch with you guys over at the Shop Talk Podcast and the Shop Talk Podcast too, guys, brother.
Shop Talk Podcast, one word on all everywhere that you listen to podcasts at. There's a lot of fakes out there who try to start and jock off the style. But when you see the blue and the black, you know where you at. Shop Talk Podcast Studio. Book some time. On Instagram is Shop Talk Podcast Studio. I also do another podcast called This Week in Culture. Where we do TV and film reviews. We just did a review of Judas and the Black Messiah. It's an excellent movie and an excellent review. It's long form breakdown. So we go through scene by scene and break down everything. So we got a nice following. There's a Facebook group with about 600 people in there who listen to the pod, and they drop stuff. And I just appreciate you having us on, man. And we got to have you on in the studio or remotely to come on Shop Talk, man, and this week in culture, because I know you do something similar with TV shows too, man.
Indeed, and I appreciate that, brother. I forgot to introduce this shit and tell y'all how y'all can get in touch with us here. Like, I used to do that in the beginning. I got so caught up with introducing the fellas, but yo, let me remind y'all how to get in touch with us here at the Spare Report Podcast, man. Let your voice be heard over here, bro. Go ahead and hit up at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave the voicemail messages. The messages will be played here live on the show and responded to right here on the show as well. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead, follow me there. Chop it up with your man Span throughout the week. Hit us up on hit us up with a 5-star review. Those 5-star views are the ones that get read here live on the show, because we ain't, like, I mean, you could leave 4 stars, but we ain't gonna read your shit. You know what I'm saying? So, like, if you leave us a 5-star review, you can even be talking shit, man. You can talk cash shit about the show. Leave them 5 stars. I read your shit, but you gave them 5 stars.
That's a good idea, man. You know what I'm saying? I might have to borrow that. That's a good idea.
Shout out to my man Rob from the Black Guy Who Tips, who I got that shit from, man. Real talk. Some other podcast pioneers that I really fuck with. Also, man, go to our website, www.thespanreport.com. You can go there, watch replays of the show. You can donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like. And, of course, we really do appreciate every dime over here at the Span Report Podcast Network. You can also go there and get yourself some merch, man. Get yourself a fly T-shirt or a hoodie. We got face masks in that bitch. You can get yourself, like, some coffee mugs and, like, some sports bottles. We got some shit in that store, man. Go ahead and get yourself some stuff out of that store, man. Real talk is another way to support the store. I mean, support us in that way. And shout out to our Patreon patrons who allow for us to do this show here live on not only just YouTube, but Facebook and Periscope and Twitch. So we really appreciate everybody in the Golden Circle of the Spin Report podcast by donating to us through our Patreon page, man. Real talk. But like I said, man, y'all check out Jay Johnson and the homie Dame over at the Shop Talk podcast, man. Their links will be in the show notes. So go ahead and see, you know, go over there and see, check them out, man. Real talk. And if you in Detroit and you trying to podcast, man, holla at my mans. Go over there and see what they about, man. Go get your shit sounding the right way. You know what I'm saying? Go get your shit sounding the right way, man. Real talk. So, yeah, man, like I said, I appreciate you and Dave for coming through. And we will talk to you guys again soon. But until next time, fam, peace.